Yo, what's up, everyone, and welcome to episode 54 of Crime in Court USA. I'm recording this on March 6th, 2024. I'm your host, Mundo Carrillo. I hope you guys are doing well. I'm doing great, but let's just jump into some breaking news here, guys. This just happened a few hours ago. Armorer Hannah Gutierrez-Reed was found guilty of involuntary manslaughter in the shooting death of cinematographer Helena Hutchins on the Rust movie set near Santa Fe in October of 2021. By the way, that's a correction from the last episode where I said that shooting took place in October of 2022. So to correct myself, it actually happened in October of 21. Just can't believe it happened that long ago. So let's recap what happened, shall we? So, back in October of 21, Alec Baldwin, the star and producer of this movie Rust, they were rehearsing a scene in a makeshift church on the Bonanza Creek Ranch near Santa Fe. And I guess in this particular scene or this particular shot, Baldwin was pointing a gun at the camera. And as he was rehearsing that, the gun went off and it hit the cinematographer Helena Hutchins in the chest. It went through her and it hit the director Joel Souza in the shoulder. Helena did die and the director was taken to the hospital and treated. And in the aftermath of all that, Gutierrez-Reed, who was the armorer, she was only 24 at the time, now she's 26, she was charged with involuntary manslaughter and tampering with evidence. That tampering with evidence charge comes from the allegation that she had a fellow staff member or fellow crew member throw away a bag of cocaine during the police investigation. She was found not guilty of that charge on Wednesday. Alec Baldwin, for his part, is also charged with involuntary manslaughter and will be tried on that in July, is scheduled to be tried on that in July. As I said in the last episode, I never really trust when these trials are scheduled that far in advance. They usually never hit that mark. Stuff happens, whatever. So as of right now, he is scheduled to go to trial in Santa Fe, New Mexico in July. I used to be a reporter. I was a reporter for a long time in Santa Fe. I used to pretty much live in the very courthouse that this trial took place in and that Alec Baldwin's trial is going to take place in. And we don't have stuff like that at all. Alec Baldwin doesn't go to trial in that courthouse, you know. And there's only like three rows of seating in those courtrooms. There's just no room for all the media and all the hubbub that's going to create. But I'm a little surprised today that the prosecution and the defense gave their closing arguments today and gave the case to the jury. But the jury only deliberated for about 3 hours. I thought they were going to go into at least Thursday, but yeah, they came back pretty quickly. So that tells me that the prosecution actually had a pretty strong case. And as I was following the trial, I thought so myself. I mean, she looked like she was careless. What they were saying she did was that she brought live rounds on set and that one of those live rounds made it into the gun that Alec Baldwin used. And during the course of the trial, we learned that she told a deputy with the Santa Fe County Sheriff's Office that there was this sort of mystery box in her car, but she was like, she didn't know where it came from or anything, but she was like, screw it, I'll use it anyway. And there's a lot of stuff, a lot of things about the safety of everyone on set came out during trial, that a lot of things were rushed, and the defense attorney argued that Hannah didn't have time to really do her job. A lot of that stuff came out right after the shooting. In fact, it might have been the day, and I'm just kind of going off memory here, the day of the shooting or the day before, I want to say the day of, a bunch of people actually walked off set over safety concerns. So it was a whole mess. It really was just an absolute mess of a production, it seems like, right? And that's kind of what the defense was going at. Was like, she was rushed. She didn't have time to do her job properly. However, other people testified for the prosecution that she was kind of unorganized and just kind of had weapons laying around and wasn't correcting people when they were misusing those weapons. By the way, I gotta mention, I got all this from the Santa Fe New Mexican. Shout out Phaedra Haywood, all over the case, all over this trial as it played out. So she does face up to 18 months in prison. Not a whole lot, considering that someone died, but you know, it is what it is. That's the law. So she was taken into custody immediately after the verdict was read, and she will, of course, be in jail until her sentencing hearing. And the time she spent in jail awaiting that sentencing hearing will likely count towards her sentence. And I don't know, just to be honest with you guys, I mean, judge is looking at criminal history and like all that kind of stuff when they're sentencing somebody. So Hannah's record seems pretty clean, so that'll be taken into account. I don't see her getting more jail time after her sentencing hearing. I'm sure she'll just be put on probation or something. So I imagine, my prediction is that she'll basically be in jail between now and her sentencing hearing, and that's about it. So that's that. We'll wait until she's sentenced. I will, of course, have an update on that. And we'll see what happens with Alec Baldwin's case. Oh, there was one interesting moment on Tuesday that caused a little bit of stir from the crowd. The defense called the gun expert to testify for them, and as he was actually handling like a real revolver in the courtroom, he took it out and pointed it in the judge's direction, and I guess that just kind of caused a stir. If you're getting a gun expert to come testify in your case where your client is accused of basically mishandling weapons, this guy probably wasn't the guy to pick. Maybe this guy is why they just kind of fell on that. It only took 3 hours to deliberate. Just kidding. You know, sometimes I've seen it multiple times where a defense calls a witness and that witness just did not help their case. I don't think this guy really helped their case. But as I said, I think the prosecution actually had a strong case. It just seems like this woman was very careless. And there's also testimony that she wasn't checking these rounds. Apparently you could just like shake a bullet and if it rattles, it's a dummy. Don't quote me on that. I'm not a firearms expert. Do not quote me on that. Well, that's the gist I got from this trial. And someone had testified that she wasn't even doing that to check if they were all dummies. So, I don't know, man. Her job was to make sure that no real bullets got in those guns. I don't know why real guns are there in the first place. I know Hollywood took a good look at that in the aftermath of the shooting. But it was her job to make sure no one got shot. And someone got shot. So I think she should be held responsible. 18 months in jail doesn't seem too harsh, all things considered, really. So, yeah, there you go. Let's move on. Donald Trump. We got to talk about this guy every week. So, most recently on Monday, the Supreme Court ruled that he can, in fact, stay on the ballot in Colorado. The Colorado Supreme Court had ruled that he cannot be on the ballot because he committed insurrection in January of 2021. You guys remember that whole riot? And so, yeah, they said, nope, you can't do it. You can't be here. And the Supreme Court went back and they were like, well, one state can't really decide, or rather the states can't decide who's on like a national, who's running for a national election. So that's a little too much power. We're not going to let them do that. So we're going to go ahead and reverse that decision. So as of right now, it doesn't seem like you could take Donald Trump off the ballot for insurrection. You're going to have to try another way. All right. That decision, by the way, came down before the day before Super Tuesday, when I think about 10 states have their primaries. So that came in with good timing there. Speaking of which, it looks like Donald Trump locked down the GOP nomination because Nikki Haley, his biggest competitor, although she wasn't really too much in the race anyways, she officially dropped out after Super Tuesday. So yeah, she's gone, which really sets up a rematch between him and Biden, which we all kind of saw coming for a long time, didn't we? And my take a while back about Trump not being the Republican candidate this time because the party had cool on him, that is a freezing cold take right now. That is ice cold. I was super wrong about that. It's going to be him and Biden, it looks like, and I think Donald Trump has a strong case of winning president again based on, it just seems like people aren't too happy with the Biden administration, so I think that gives him a strong case to take the presidency back. He would be the first president since Grover Cleveland to serve two non-consecutive terms, just in case you guys didn't know that. I like Grover Cleveland because of that fact, and because his name is Grover Cleveland. That's fucking hilarious. Anyway, so that's that on Trump. Don't want to spend too much time on him. Let's move on. Jack Teixeira, the young U.S. airman who leaked a bunch of secret documents on Discord, the site Discord, it's like a message board kind of thing. He leaked a bunch of secret documents there last year, and he pleaded guilty to that and faces up to 16 years in prison. And that's not finalized yet. A final sentencing hearing is scheduled for September, but that's likely to be what the sentence range is going to be. That is a sweet deal, considering that he faced up to 60 years in prison originally. So yeah, he was arrested last April, and he pleaded guilty to 6 counts of willful retention and transmission of national defense information under the National Espionage Act. Very fancy stuff. You know what's interesting, though, about this is that the prosecutors don't believe there's actually any espionage. That's a kind of a funny word to say, espionage. There was none of that involved. Really, that he was just on this Discord doing these leaks, leaking these documents, because he was just trying to impress people. That's kind of what it came down to. And he was young. He's only 22 now, so I guess he was only 21 last year when he got arrested. He got arrested last April, I think I said that. So not even a year ago. Young fella. And his youth played a big role in him committing those leaks, according to his lawyer. So his lawyer is going to argue that to try to get him a lighter sentence. So yeah, a lot of those leaks, pretty big, one of the bigger leaks in U.S. history, according to the Washington Post and New York Times and all the other people I got this information from. But I guess no one was hurt too badly, because they didn't throw him in the slammer forever, or he didn't have to, you know, try to flee like Snowden did and try to seek asylum in Russia. A lot of that stuff was about the war and the war effort in Ukraine and Russia. A lot of stuff that we sent over to Ukraine was that a lot of that information was in there. A lot of the big guys did report on that kind of stuff. So it was a big leak. There was a lot of information in there. But ultimately, he just wasn't trying to leak it to adversaries. He was trying to make himself look cool on Discord. Freaking 22, man. That's so young. He was just a computer tech. Worked in an intelligence unit. And he literally just waited till people left the building to print out a bunch of shit. It looked like. So, not too slick, man. Not too slick. He had been warned about it before, about looking at unauthorized stuff that he couldn't look at. Apparently one of his superiors actually said, hey, stop it. And he still did it. So this case actually has been reported as one of the more embarrassing cases for U.S. security, because just some 21-year-old computer tech, some low-ranking guy in our military could just access all these secrets this easily and link them on Discord? Dude, you know, Discord's for gamers, and you know all your gamers are. And I'm a gamer, so I could say that. Gamers are weird, man. Just kidding. But yeah, that's bad. That's bad, little Jackie. I don't know if that whole youth is gonna play a big role. Maybe. I think I'll get the 16 years. Federal court's funky. I don't know federal court as well as I know state court, especially New Mexico court or the New Mexico system. But yeah, I imagine he'll get the 16. So yeah, that's a lot. That's a long time, actually. That's a real long time for just a little Discord leak, bro. You're going to be a full-grown man, I guess, when you're out of there in your 30s, young fella. Now that I think about it, that's kind of a hefty sense, but historic leak, so that's what happens, man. You should have known. You should have known not to do that. All right. I think I'm going to get out of here, guys. That is all for this week. I really appreciate you guys listening. Thank you to the Patreon supporters, Daniel, Tony, Andres, and Emily, and welcome to the family, Mike. Appreciate you being here, buddy. All right, guys, if you want to support me, you get over to patreon.com/crimeandcourtusa, where you could get exclusive episodes for just $1 a month, man. That price is so low, it's insane. All right, guys, until next time, my name is Mundo, and I'm out. Peace.